And I heard this voice, and I saw this picture of Jesus, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "May I have this dance?" So when I worship the Lord, I very often am like this. And I know that I'm dancing with my beloved. I mean, it's just the sweetest ever, everything. And that song happens to be one of my most favorite worship songs. Thank you for leading us into worship with that. I have two things I want to share. I'm just listening to the Lord to see how he wants to share it. I have a friend that wrote this, and I think I'm going to share this first. Because today we really want to focus on nobody is beyond repair. I want to so focus us on Jesus that his intense desire for our wholeness. He told me that prayer opens a conduit for his activity between heaven and earth. And that as we pray, we become that conduit. And that's been so huge to me since God reinvented me. When my husband moved to heaven 3.5 years ago, my Prince Charming, I didn't want to go on. So the Lord did some things for me that were pretty amazing to get me to where I wanted to go on. This is Ed and I several years ago. And I can't even tell you how deeply attached I was to this man. For 43 years, he spoiled me rotten. I mean, literally, I am spoiled beyond redemption. I've been well and truly loved. And I always laugh and say, I never wanted a man. Two men would do what my husband did. I could never expect to ever find another man that would do that. And I always say, I'm not a widow. We just moved. He's not dead at all. He's more alive than we are. And what it's done is God has reinvented me. It's been really fascinating. He's made some demands on me. And it occurred to me about 2 weeks ago that I could not do the things I'm doing today if my husband were still here. Last night I shared something very sweet, and I'm going to share it. And as you can sense, I'm listening as I'm talking here. And I just want to share what the Lord spoke to me recently on the third-year anniversary of Ed moving to heaven. I was with my grief counselor in Florida. The first year we put some ashes in the water at Tampa Bay. What happened, let me explain just a tiny bit about my grief counselor. I usually talk about this because I could not open up to the people that loved me. I sequestered myself pretty much when I moved to heaven. And so God sent me somebody through Facebook, through my brother, a young man younger than my children, and who had just gone through an intense loss just before. I knew him not at all. I mean, and we have zero in common as far as human commonality would be concerned. So what we do have in common is our love for God. But I didn't know that at this time. I just knew that we were on Farmtown. And I see my Gale on Farmtown sometimes too. I rarely get a chance to get on it anymore. But it was a vehicle that God chose because before my husband passed away, he had Parkinson's disease with dementia. And the last 2 years, we took care of him 24/7. I say we, my son lives with me, and he helped me move him, but I did his care. And I just wanted to pay back some of the 43 years of spoiling that he had done. I intensely loved caring for this man. I was honored beyond words to care for him, even though it was very difficult. So what the Lord did, knowing me in my male prosaic ways, having been raised with all boys, is that he knew I would just simply not want to go on, and then I would probably bury myself. And so he sent this young man, and I didn't know it at the time, like I said, but the instructions he gave him were, I want you to come alongside Miss Pat, and I want you to gently lift her like on butterfly wings until she can get her strength back. You know, butterfly wings are the symbol of resurrection and of new life. I didn't want a new life. God knew that. So he sent Gregory to me, and he would come on, he would say, ma'am, could I harvest this for you? How are you today? And later on, he told me when God put him on assignment that He would pray for me every single day. He's prayed for me for 3.5 years, every day, morning, noon, and night, throughout the day. In fact, at this particular moment in time, I just got a text saying, I'm there with you, AOS, angel on shoulders, meaning I'm praying for you. I'm there with you. And so God knew he'd have to send a support system that was not going to be a totally natural thing, because I would reject it, because I would not spill my guts to people, you know, and I grieve very privately. So God being God, knowing that this was the biggest hurdle I would ever jump. And I've gone through some things, but before I always had Ed with me. This time he was not with me. And I'm going to read this, because this is so... My friend Catherine Weaver wrote this, and she has a book called Finding God in the Simple Things. If you'd like to go online and get that book, I would really encourage you to. Or if you want to give it to somebody to encourage them, Catherine is amazing. She has such a gift. God downloads this stuff, just like this. Hello, my name is Payne. I come in many shapes and forms, but the damage that I can do is all the same. I keep you from living. I keep you from loving. I keep you locked in a prison of fear and isolation. You believe me when I tell you that you have no choice. You think you have no control over me, so I win day after day. Hello. My name's Regret. I keep a log of all of the mistakes that you've ever made. Every bad choice, every single failure, every wrong that you've ever done. When you think you have strength to fight me, I show you the wreckage that you've left behind in your wake. I show you the people that you have disappointed and hurt along the way. My job is to never, ever let you forget. Hello. My name is Addiction. My power comes when I can convince you that you're just not good enough. You have done too much wrong. You've made too many bad choices to be worth anything. Then I offer you an out, not a solution, but a distraction. I tell you that with me, you can forget for a while and pretend that your pain and regret aren't so bad. Then I laugh. As I suck you in a little deeper. Hello, my name is Anger. I am strongest when I can convince you that how you were treated was just not fair. I gain power when I can get you riled up about something else or someone else not deserving your understanding. I start with a small hurt or irritation, then I gain momentum as your temper rises. I can create a monster just out of a word or a thought. Hello, my name is Loneliness. I may work alone, but my power is not diminished. I convince you that you have to have someone else in your life to be worth anything. I tell you that you are nothing without a spouse, without children, that because you're single or alone, you failed. I use the media and social stereotypes to convince you that you are incomplete. I especially love to torment you over the holidays when you think everyone else is happily visiting with families that you have yearned for. I can even make you feel completely alone in a room full of people. Hello, my name is Anxiety. I can make you tremble at the mere mention of your future. I paint pictures of insecurity and uncertainty. I suggest that your family will leave you. Your job is insecure. You aren't really safe from the bad people who prey on the weak and vulnerable. Hello, I'm Anxiety's twin sister, Fear. I can convince you that your money won't last, your food will run out, that someone will take what you've worked so hard for. I like to suggest that there is no God, that he doesn't really love you, that you aren't really saved, Our whispers are loudest in the dark when night falls. We keep you awake with images of danger, of brokenness, and defeat. Hello, my name is Depression. Your mind is my playground. I hide quicksand in the corners and I catch you when you least expect it. When you remember something good, I'm right there to tell you how you messed it up. I create a reality that never really exists, but I convince you that it's true. I weave such a web of heaviness that freedom from me seems impossible and struggling seems so futile. These are the lies of the enemy. These are his weapons, and they're all based on deceit. If we listen to them, if we give them time in our lives, they gain strength. They are each capable of taking over and becoming a debilitating force in our personal world. When they combine forces, they lock arms and become such a strong net of darkness that we think that no light could ever penetrate it. The abyss seems so deep that we think we are trapped and there's no escape. But I would love to show you another cast of characters. Hello, my name is Faith. I am strongest when I hold something that cannot be seen by the human eye. When I am coupled with hope and love, I am unstoppable. When you listen to me and believe what I say, I can move mountains. Together, we can do the impossible. Hello, my name is Healing. People say I don't exist in the world today, but that's because they're too used to the pain. They would have healing, but in order to see the healing, they have to let go of the pain. They hold on to it like a familiar crutch and are afraid to trust their legs to hold them without the braces. If they would only trust and believe me, they would see miracles. Hello, my name is Forgiveness. I am not a companion that is easily matched. It is difficult to get to know me unless you are ready to turn loose of anger and resentment. We cannot coexist together. You may think that my job is to release the other person from the responsibility of the wrong they did you. That's not true. My job is to free you from the prison of holding them accountable for what they did. It is not your job to keep a record of wrongs, and I can free you from those chains. Hello, my name is Joy. I hold an enormous amount of strength. I can brighten your entire outlook in just one moment. I can make you smile in the midst of chaos. I can make you laugh when you want to cry. I can bring you into a place of calm when the world around you is spinning out of control. Hello, my name is Peace. I'm a mystery to most people. They think they have to earn me by being spiritual enough, or have to search long and hard to find me. But I'm only one prayer away. I'm the most easily found in the quiet times, but I've been given a gift to be found in the midst of storms and turmoil. If you seek my companion Joy, you will find me as well. Hello, my name is Love. I'm not just a feeling, you know. In fact, that may be the weakest form of me. I am found everywhere and everyone, but some have become so accustomed to ignoring me that they don't hear me anymore. I am the strongest when I'm a choice. When you feel like it the least, choose me. When you think they deserve it the least, choose me. When you don't know what else to do, show me to those around you, and that will introduce them to my author. Hello. My name is Jesus. I was in the beginning. I am in the now. And I will be in your future. I am the author of love, peace, and joy. I am the light that can never be diminished. I am the light that can never be extinguished. Do you think this darkness is too much for me? I am the voice that spoke the universe into existence. Do you think this addiction is too great for me? I came to the earth as a human to die for all humanity so they could have a repaired relationship with my Father. Do you think this earthly pain is too much for me? Don't you know that with one breath I could split the oceans? With one word I could rewrite history. With one thought I could change the horizon. With one touch I could extinguish the sun. Nothing is too great for me. Nothing is beyond my reach. Nothing is impossible for me. You are my precious child. You're my beloved. I would travel lifetimes to reach you. I would have come to die even if you were the only one that was lost. Pain is fleeting and limited to this world only. Regret is a poison that keeps you focused on what's behind you instead of allowing you to see the joy that is coming. Addiction, it is just a lie that creates a web of deceit to hold you captive. Anger, oh, it's an honest emotion. But when allowed to become self-righteous and vindictive or pompous, it evolves into something very ugly and destructive and deadly. Loneliness, what a ruse. The enemy wants you to believe it. But if you hear my voice, you will never be alone. Anxiety keeps you in a constant state of flight. Don't feed it, and it will die. My wish for you is that you would recognize who you are, an identity the enemy would love to keep a secret. He doesn't want you to recognize who you are, that you are a child of the one true King. You're in error with me, with Christ. Come with me into the presence of our Father and experience life beyond your wildest imaginations. Life as he intended it, and life everlasting. Do you not just feel the heart of God in that? But in reading this, doesn't it bring up the pain, the anxiety, the negative things that the world has subjected us to? But look at, God has the antidote for every single one of those things in his presence in our heart, in our lives. And so we have to ask ourselves, why do we allow anxiety, inferiority, because all those things are all about inferiority. Why do we allow insignificance to hold us back? Why do we let our feelings of insignificance make us hold on to these things? The anxiety, the depression, the hopelessness. And don't you find that sometimes they come in waves? Sometimes I think hormonal. But they'll come in waves. But you know, what did Jesus say? I am the answer. Anytime we move even a slight distance from Jesus and what he can do, we lose something. Because he truly himself is the answer. I love this piece because it so expresses the overcoming power of the love of God. Amen? I just want you to ponder that. I want you to think, what were the things that were touched on in your life, or maybe the life of somebody that's close to you? What are the things that were touched on in your life? What maybe needs a little more healing? We're a work in progress. Do we know that? I talked about being healing coming in layers. We will be a work of progress till the Lord takes us home. God is so able to send us what we need by means we've never dreamed of as we just open our hearts and our minds to the possibilities of Christ. He will always think out of the box because we can't put him in a box. We can put each other in a box. We can stereotype, but Jesus' ways and means are so amazing. But I have to tell you, the key, honestly, to the freedom in these areas is to let it flow through you, to you, to do the work in your heart and life, and then through you. I believe many times we're allowed to go through things to comfort those so we can comfort others. You know, there's an eternal purpose in everything. We tend to think we're this isolated person, you know, maybe not very significant, the big cog wheels or whatever, but we are. None of us is insignificant. That is one of the lies of the enemy. We all are living in a mission field. When somebody says, I need a new job, I say, okay, let's pray about where your new mission field is. Or this change is coming. Okay, let's pray about that mission field. Because we certainly don't have to go to Africa or even like the Philippines to be in a mission field. Our mission is to see people loved and healed, to help them to understand how significant they are to God. Has anybody but me ever felt insignificant? You know, it's like if I didn't exist, it wouldn't be a big deal. The world would not change very much. But it really would, because God has placed each of us in our own mission field. Every day, 365 days of the year is significant. Even the day you stay in your pajamas all day. I had one of those. The only one I can think of all year, maybe two. Even that day, you get on Facebook, or you get on something, or you talk to a friend. That's just a venue to pour the love of God. Be very quick to pray for people. Be very quick to touch people. We need to be careful of touching this day and age. There's so much controversy about it. But this, the laying on of hands, does it have to look like, I lay my hands on you, I pray for you? No, just to touch somebody and let them just feel God. God is so much more in us than we dream through his Holy Spirit. The last song we sang is just one of my favorite songs because I so just see myself at the feet of the Lord. But you know, I don't stay there. He fills me, then he sends me out. Wherever that is, it doesn't matter. Every contact is significant and is in the scheme, the great scheme of what God is doing in our lives. I want to read Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3 to you, please. I really don't even have to read it to you. I have lived these scriptures all of my adult life. This is in the New King James. It's up on the screen. But it reads something like this. Are we ready? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. That means nobody's going to get away with it, by the way. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Listen. listen to the great stuff in these verses. I was first given those verses by Dick Mills. I don't know if you've heard of him. He would now be a very old prophet if he were still alive. He may or may not be. But Ed and I were in a meeting at Abbot Loop many years ago. I was just a baby Christian. And this gentleman, very prophet of God, he called certain people out of the congregation, out of several hundred people, there probably 700 or 800 people, maybe 1,000. He picked, you know, just a certain number of people, and Ed and I were one of the first couples that he called forward. And nobody knew the damage that I had in my life. Absolutely nobody could have known but God. And he gave Ed some scriptures, and he looked at me, and he said, I have a word for you. And he had memorized so much of the Bible, he didn't have to look at it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He began to give me these scriptures. And when he got to the beauty for ashes, I was so arrested by that. I took those scriptures home, and I read those scriptures. I knew something had changed me. But when I heard him, here's what I focused on. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to open the prison doors to those that are bound. Maybe in the prison of unforgiveness. To comfort all who mourn losses. You know, mourning is not just losing a loved one. Mourning is losing a vision, a dream, a hope. You know, maybe what you hoped your child would be. Maybe what you hoped you'd be in your career. Maybe some hope that you grew up hoping is planned for your life. And you're 40 years old and realize it's not going to happen. Maybe the dream for your marriage. Maybe it's just not all roses like you thought it would be. Maybe it's been a lot of work, you know. Don't lose hope. There's life, there's hope. We've all had losses. We've lost mothers, we've lost fathers, we've lost loved ones. Many times we've lost our own dignity. Somebody has stolen it or used us in a way that we didn't want. Or maybe in foolishness we've given away something very precious of ourselves. Maybe we've been rejected. So mourning for something dead doesn't just mean me mourning for my husband. It may mean you're mourning for something in your life that was precious and was stolen. Maybe it's been buried under layers and layers of unforgiveness. I have a wonderful friend in Oregon, and she was sharing that one time she had a horrible father, an absolutely horrible father. And she came to the Lord in a very unusual way. Because her family, the women were prostitutes, and it was just really very bad background. And she hated her dad, hated him passionately. And one day she's very prophetic, and she saw a vision, and she saw a vision of her dad in jail, in a prison, and there was a key in the door. And she said, good. And the Lord said, he's in a prison of unforgiveness. And she said, I will never forgive. He deserves to be in that prison. I would never open that key and open that door and let him out of there, ever. And she was so hateful because he had done such horrible things to her. And then the view changed, and she saw it in a larger scale, and there were two prison cells side by side. She was in the one next to his. And the Lord said, you will be in this prison as long as you have unforgiveness. You see, unforgiveness doesn't mean it was okay. It doesn't mean that person isn't held accountable. The day of vengeance of our God in these verses means God is going to get vengeance. Trust me. God is not going to let anything be swept under the carpet. If it's not under the blood and forgiven, it will be judged. Our God is a just God, and he will judge in a way we never could, so we don't need to make judgment. But trust me, it does not mean that what happened to you was okay. And it does not mean that even if it was your fault, is unforgivable. Everything is unforgivable. Christ didn't do a half a job when he died on the cross. Everything was unforgivable. So when I heard these verses, I got so excited because I knew God had singled me out to give them to me. And so the beauty for ashes is one of my most favorite, and you girls that were in my classes years ago will remember, when I talked about ashes, the burned out, scarred, damaged areas of our life. that nobody knows about. Many times when I'm praying for people for inner healing or just praying, the Lord will show me that prison door. It's interesting. I will see a prison door. Inside that door, I'll see a skeleton. A skeleton in the closet. And it'll be something that is behind the door that is unforgiven. But this word, Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, is the key. Didn't he send his word to heal us? Did he not? Isn't healing and forgiveness, all these things through the word of God? I love, to this day, I love those verses because I am free. I stand here free because of these verses. And I have not always been free. I know what it's like to be in that prison of abuse and all those things that happened to you. I lived a very isolated life. I never felt loved in my life as a child until I got older. Ed was the first person that ever truly loved me. Then I found Jesus. And then my mother got saved and she learned to love me. But I didn't, I never bonded. You know, what I learned, I was like a bird let out of a cage, and I learned that I could be free. But here's something else that the Lord showed me. That until I could assume I was loved, I would never feel loved, and I would never be free to truly love. You see, there's such power in this. I have a whole study on this. I wish I had time to go through it. I don't. And it's called The Power of Assuming You're Loved. If you do not at some point assume you're loved, if you always feel unlovable, not even God can prove he loves you. Did you hear that? You can hear about the love of God. You can know about the love of God. You can read the word about the love of God. You can see the love of God in the more lovable people around you. But until you assume that you are loved, then you'll never be free. You see, there's power in freedom, is there not? There's power in assuming you're loved because then you can acknowledge that you're lovable. Oh, that doesn't mean adorable. She tells me I'm adorable. I think she's so stinking adorable. She tells me I'm adorable. But we are lovable because when we take the beauty for the ashes, when we take the burnt, scarred areas of our life and give them to Jesus, when we say, okay, Lord, take that word, unlock the prison, get rid of those skeletons inside the prison in my heart. When we do that, we become powerful because we become lovable. And if we're lovable, then we're free. Isn't the most horrible prison the one that tells you the things I just read that tells you you can't be free? You can't be free. But I'm here to tell you, you can be free. Jesus Christ paid for your freedom. Christ, it's all these scriptures are all about Christ, the prophecy of Christ coming to set us free. He's the one that gives beauty for ashes. He gives the oil of joy for mourning. He gives the garment of praise for heaviness. I love that one. Hey, if you have depression, you want to know how to get rid of it? More sure than the law of gravity is that when you praise God and forget about yourself, concentrate on him, when you praise God, the depression will rise. Because he gave you a garment of praise. There's a song we used to sing, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know that one? It's true. I am telling you, it is true. It is not just true in a generic sense. It is true for you. It is so true for you that God sent me across the country in a very circuitous route through New York City and all these different places to come and tell you today, it's true. You could... I know every woman in this room has experienced freedom. You've experienced the love of Christ. You've experienced the freedom from your sin. But layer on layer, there's still healing that needs to be done in our hearts and our lives because we live in a fallen world. And there are things that we function beyond because we have the power of Christ. But sometimes we need to stop and sit and say, okay, Lord, what is it today? What little prison door is there today that you want me to open that door so that can be healed? And it's not about guilt. I want to tell you, this is not about guilt. Because once in a while, I know that we do things that cause us pain. That's very, very true. They're our fault. Those are forgiven. Those are in the sea of forgetfulness. This is not about guilt. It's about thriving. Why should we survive when we can thrive? Are you serious? You feel like you're thriving where you are? You feel like you want to thrive a little bit more? I'm saying, let's just let God come in and just wash out with the Holy Spirit. We've had this beautiful worship. Just wash out. Sometimes I see a vessel with dirt in the bottom, you know, and I see the Spirit just coming in with that conduit. Oh, I love this microphone. It's making noise when I touch it. But if we just let the Holy Spirit come in and wash us a little deeper and just wash us, we are a work in progress. I really do not profess to be where I want to be even a year from now. But one thing I know about my God, He's not done with me yet. I'm on a journey, just like you're on a journey. I understood the love of God more when I became a mom. But I understood the love of God even more when I became a grandmother, because it was filled with so much grace. So much grace. And that's the way God is with us. He has so much grace. You know, God would do anything for you. He loves you beyond your wildest imagination, beyond your wildest dreams. I can't even begin to express to you His heart towards you. How precious you are to Him. How really dear you are. There's nobody in the world like you. Your fingerprints, nobody. What do you want God to do today? You just come to get entertained by this funny lady that came from Oregon? Or do you want God to do something special in your life? Doesn't mean that you're full of faults or you're weak or any of those things. This means you want to go on with God. So I don't know who you have that would typically minister with me, but anybody that is in ministry, I'd love to have them come. And if you want to just be prayed over today, if there's just something that, did something come to your mind when I was reading these things about anxiety or any of those things? Just let us pray with you. The Spirit of God is here to heal, to soothe. Maybe you just want to be blessed and you just want to grow. I'm a blessing hog. I believe blessings are tangible, bankable assets. So when somebody blesses me, I always tell them thank you, because when Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, He said, if the house is worthy, your blessing will stay. If not, it will return to you. So when you give a blessing, it is tangible. So if you just want to be blessed today, you want a tangible gift from God, come let us pray with you. I would love to have us just come and just be together. And so I'm going to invite Karen, whoever else. Mm-hmm. This is the blessing chair.
Even though I'm praying, can I go first?
Oh, you absolutely can, Lori. I love those little blessing hogs. Ooh, little piggies, I love them. Yeah. Do we want to leave the microphone on, girls, or do we want to turn it off? I think we should. For privacy, you want to turn me off, please? Thank you. It's a blessing.